35.
There,
Gary said, taking a deep, satisfied breath.
I think that looks pretty good.
No, it doesn't.
Tyler stifled the urge to laugh while looking utterly disgusted, which is a difficult trick to pull off.
Whatever. The point is, it'll work.
No, it won't.
What are you talking about? You agreed that this is a good plan.
I most certainly did not. I never said that this was a good plan. I said it was a ridiculous plan, but that you should go ahead and do it anyway. And I only said that because I wanted to see what your idea of a fake, sexy, lady dragon would look like.
Gary looked back up at his handiwork.
And I think it looks pretty good. What's wrong with it?
What's wrong with it? Everything about it is wrong. It's an exercise in pure wrongness. It's wrong that you thought of it. It's wrong that you had such specific ideas about how it should look. It's wrong that it's wearing makeup. It's wrong to give a reptile mammary glance. And worst of all, it's wrong that you got all the way through making it without once looking at what you were doing and thinking, this is wrong.
Gary said,
it's a first attempt. I was bound to make a few mistakes. I'll admit, it could be better.
Tyler said,
could be better? I don't know how it could be worse.
As they looked at Gary's creation, behind them they heard Philip say,
oh no. Oh no, no, no.
Tyler cringed. Martin just laughed and kept laughing. Gary said,
guys, what brings you here?
Philip tried to explain, but he couldn't really concentrate while standing anywhere near Gary's fake, sexy lady dragon. It looked like the standard model of non-horned dragon, except for the modifications Tyler mentioned, plus a narrower waist, fuller hips, and eyelashes as long and thick as unsharpened pencils.
We got done with our dragons, Philip said weakly. We saw you chaps still had one, so we thought we'd come help.
You're beyond help,
Martin gasped, doubled over with laughter.
Nobody can fix what's wrong with you.
He glanced back up at the sexy lady dragon and gave up talking, letting the laughs take over completely. Philip looked at Tyler and Gary and said,
please say something that will make this better.
Gary said,
we were desperate.
Martin kept laughing. Philip muttered,
I did ask.
Gary said, oh, come on, guys, it's not what you're thinking. Philip said,
I was thinking that you intended to try to lure the last remaining dragon in your area with this awful thing you've made. Are you telling me that that's not what's going on here?
No.
Gary said, you're right, it's that. For the first time since he was a very small child, Martin literally fell down laughing. Tyler said,
this last dragon's been a real problem. So you've resorted to using ideas you've stolen from Wile E. Coyote?
Gary said,
a good idea is a good idea, no matter where it comes from.
Martin sat on the ground and whined,
oh God! No air! Can't breathe!
Philip said,
did it never occur to you that Mr. Coyote wasn't famous because he caught Roadrunner so many times?
Tyler waved his arms as if trying to erase the last several seconds, much like one would erase a chalkboard.
Okay, look, you're right. This thing here is Gary's doing. I was just a spectator. But you've got to understand, he was driven to this. We got it down to one dragon right away, but this last dragon, it's been complicated.
Philip said,
we came to assist you. I'm sure once Martin has recovered, we can help.
Martin laid back in the grass, breathing heavily, and occasionally giggling.
Yeah.
Help.
What seems to be the problem?
Philip asked. Tyler said,
The dragons made friends with the little girl, and she won't let us, I'm gonna wait until Martin stops laughing.
Martin looked like he might take quite a while to stop, so Tyler and Gary led Philip through the small stand of trees they'd been using as camouflage, to where he could see the little girl and her dragon, still playing by the pond. Philip whispered,
She looks darling.
Gary said,
She's tough, man.
Philip said,
She's a child. Yeah.
Tyler said,
But she's clever. A clever child.
Martin walked up beside them, looked at the little girl and the dragon, and at full speaking volume asked, That her?
Yes,
Gary said.
Be quiet, she'll hear you.
So what if she does? She's a little girl.
Don't underestimate her,
Tyler said.
She's beaten us so far.
Does she have super hearing or something? Martin asked. Philip asked,
What have you tried so far?
Gary said,
Everything.
Fair enough,
Philip said.
What did her parents say when you talked to them?
Gary and Tyler looked at each other and said nothing.
You didn't talk to her parents?
Should we have?
Gary asked. Philip said,
When you have a problem with someone else's children, the first thing you should always do is talk to the parents, That's the first rule of dealing with kids.
Martin said, It's the first rule of not being a creep. Gary said,
Her parents aren't around.
So find them,
Philip scolded.
I'm sure they're probably at the nearest farmhouse. If not, the people there will probably know her and be able to direct you to them.
But who knows how far away the nearest farmhouse is?
It can't be farther than a little girl can easily walk. And besides, even if it is miles away, you're a wizard. You can fly. Have you forgotten that, Gary?
Gary chose not to respond. Martin said,
Okay, I'll get some altitude, find the nearest farmhouse and ask around. Philip, I think since our friends here have been harassing her all day, it might be good if you went and tried to keep her calm and get her to stay put till I get back with the parents. I'd do it myself, but you look, I don't know, kindly.
Philip stood up and dusted off his robe.
Yes, Martin, thank you. Lord knows what kind of trauma these two have put the poor dear through.
Gary started to say something, but Tyler stopped him, saying,
No, you know what? I think this is a good plan. Let's let them handle it, Gary. We can watch them and see how well they do.
Martin flew straight up through a hole in the tree cover. Philip walked out of the woods at a casual pace and approached the girl. Moving quickly, hoping to be in position before she noticed Philip, Tyler and Gary scurried like poorly coordinated commandos, hiding behind and then peeking out around a large tree trunk. The girl and the dragon both saw Philip coming. They watched silently as he approached, then sat down, cross-legged on the ground. Tyler and Gary were behind Philip. They couldn't see his face, but they could hear the smile in his voice.
Hello, young lady. My name is Philip. I'm here to apologize. I understand these two have been bothering you.
Much to Gary and Tyler's chagrin, Philip pointed back at the tree they were hiding behind as he said it.
Yes, they have. It was awful.
I'm sorry about that. They will be talked to about how they treat a young lady who's out with her pet, minding her own business.
Thanks. They're dumb.
They can be, yes.
Are they friends of yours?
Behind the tree, Gary said,
Here it comes.
Philip said,
More colleagues, really. People I'm forced to put up with.
The girl smiled. Tyler said,
Yup, there it is.
And sat down behind the tree. He no longer had the stomach to watch or actively listen to the conversation between Philip and the girl. He tried very hard to think of something else, but occasionally Philip said things that got his attention.
Yes, Quite silly. But brain. No, I suppose he didn't like being called that. He fell off of the hill? Then part of the hill fell on him? I'm sure that was very funny. He stepped backwards into the water all on his own, you say? I do wish I could have seen that.
The conversation felt endless to Tyler, but in truth it only took 5 minutes. Then a portal materialized about 50 feet away from where the girl and her dragon stood. Through the portal, Tyler could see Martin standing in front of a small but very tidy farmhouse, with a man and a woman who looked confused at first, then alarmed when they saw their little girl standing next to a dragon. The woman shouted,
"Josie!"
Martin put a calming hand on her shoulder. The girl smiled and waved and shouted,
"Mama, Papa!"
Philip twisted his neck and back around to look at Chelsea's parents. He smiled reassuringly and said,
"Hello. Delightful young lady you have here. I've just been talking to her, making sure nothing bad happened while my friend found you."
Chelsea's father said,
"Thank you,"
looking meaningfully at both Martin and Philip. He glanced over and saw Tyler and Gary hiding behind a tree. Gary waved. Chelsea's father did not wave back. He said,
"All right, Chelsea girl. It's time for you to come home now."
"Yes, Papa. Can I bring Kelly with me, please?"
Chelsea's parents were terrified at the sight of their little girl that close to the vicious-looking dragon, but they both put on a brave face and fought through it. Chelsea's mother said,
"No, dear. That thing, Kelly, has to stay, and I think you know it. Oh, but he's very nice, and I love him an awful lot." "The answer's no, Chelsea. Now come here." "But I want to bring Kelly. You're not being fair."
Chelsea's father said,
"Don't argue with your mother. Do you think she likes not letting you have things you want?"
The girl looked at the ground and said,
"No."
"That's right. She'd like nothing more than to be able to say yes. We both would, but we can't. Because Kelly is a wild animal. He needs to be free. He wouldn't be happy on our farm, would he?"
"Well, I suppose not."
"Right. So, tomorrow when you come out to play, if Kelly's still here, then the two of you can have a good time. But if he isn't, you can't be sad because it means he's off being happy, doing what dragons do. Understand?"
"Yes, Papa, I understand."
Her mother said,
"Good girl. That all depends on if you're allowed to come out and play tomorrow. And you won't be if you don't do as you're told and come home now." "Of course, Mama. I'm sorry."
Chelsea looked up at Kelly, then hugged him, which, given their size discrepancy, meant putting her arms around Kelly's wrist. The dragon looked down at her, but made no move to show whether it liked, disliked, or even understood the gesture. Chelsea walked away from Kelly. As she passed close to Philip, she stopped and hugged him, too. When she finally reached her parents, standing next to Martin and his portal back to their home, she asked,
"Did you mean it, Papa? If Kelly's still here tomorrow, can I play with him again?"
Her father hoisted her up in his arms and said,
"Of course. He's your friend. Now let's get you inside."
He carried Chelsea off through the portal and toward the farmhouse. Chelsea's mother lingered behind a moment, and as soon as Chelsea was out of earshot, she turned to Martin and said,
"But it won't be here tomorrow, will it?"
Martin smiled, shaking his head, and said,
"Definitely not." "Good. Thank you for protecting our girl, and for coming to get us."
She hugged Martin, gave Philip a look of deep gratitude, glared at Tyler and Gary, still hiding behind the tree, and walked through the portal herself. Martin collapsed the portal, clapped his hands, and said,
"Okay. Philip and I did the hard part, apparently. Now get to work."
"What?"
Tyler asked.
"You two call her parents to do all the work, take all the glory for yourselves, and now you want us to destroy the dragon?"
"Yeah," Martin said. "This is your area. That's your dragon. We're happy to help, but we aren't going to do everything for you."
Philip said,
"I agree. It's time for you two to do your part. But I know it's been a hard day for you, so if it makes you feel better, feel free to give the dragon a makeover first.